How did you come to believe? We heard in today's gospel that for Thomas to believe, he had to stick his finger in the nail marks and put his hand at his side. At least that was the condition that Thomas was giving. He announced it to his friends. So in himself, he was wrestling with faith, with believing. And that's something that all of us struggle with. We've all come to believe for different reasons. We've all had different paths that have led us here on this Sunday afternoon, Divine Mercy Sunday, 2024. We've all taken different paths. Somehow, we have all come to believe. And it's good to reflect on that every once in a while. How did I come to believe? Why am I here? What am I doing here? How is my relationship with God? How is my faith? And faith is something much like a plant. The more you nurture it, the more you cultivate it, the more you take care of it, the more it grows. I know I've experienced that in my own life. Many of you know my story. When I was 20 years old, I had this inspiration at the beginning of Lent to just start praying a little bit each and every day. And it didn't take long, probably 2 to 3 weeks, for God to reveal himself to me in a way that he had never done before. Or at least, I was not so open to that revelation of God. But because I was praying, I had some faith, and I started to pray just a little bit more. God had an opportunity. I like to call him the divine sniper. He knew right when he had to fire. He knew he had a small window of opportunity, and he took advantage of it. And by the grace of God, I responded to that in faith. And I've been a priest for almost 20 years now. Many of you know that in the last 2, in particular, my faith has grown. Because I've seen things, and I've heard things, I've witnessed things that I can't not see. And the only explanation for the things I've seen is the power of God, the presence of God. So my faith has increased. One of the things that has absolutely helped me on my journey, one of the things that really helped me to persevere in my faith, Divine Mercy. I'm getting emotional. Divine Mercy. There's 4 gentlemen. Guys, raise your hands for me. I've just spent the last 5 days with these guys. They're all going to be ordained permanent deacons for the Archdiocese of Detroit in October. And I was leading them on retreat. So yeah, pray for them. Now, sharing with them today, I first found out about Divine Mercy even before I joined the seminary. And I was almost angry as I was reading these messages of Divine Mercy. How come no one's told me about this before? I'm 20 years old. I've never heard about Divine Mercy. And then I joined the seminary, and unfortunately, it wasn't really a part of our typical spirituality, but I certainly never forgot about it. And then I was able to circle back to it after I was newly ordained. And it was 5 years into my priesthood when my religious order, many of you know, the Legionaries of Christ and Regnum Christi, went through quite a crisis. And so it was my devotion to Divine Mercy, I believe, that really helped me to navigate those very rough waters. And that happens to all of us. Life throws us curveballs. We get sick, financial ruin, whatever it might be. And we can come to really doubt the goodness of God, the presence of God, the mercy of God. And so I had to just keep repeating, Jesus, I trust in you. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I trust that you're going to see me through this and that you're going to see my brothers and sisters through this crisis. And by the grace of God, here we are. Here we are. Wasn't easy. And so this is more than an image. It's more than a message. It's really a divine appeal, you could say. Jesus appealing to all of humanity to trust in his mercy. And he would say to St. Faustina, I got her socks on today. She was known as the secretary of divine mercy. She kept a diary. Abby, do you have it with you here? Did you bring it in? Did you leave it in the car? She left it in the car. Okay. Abby was reading the diary of divine mercy. I'm like, wow, that's pretty intense for a high school student. Good for you. So this diary that Faustina kept, Jesus says to her that mercy is my greatest attribute. Mercy is my greatest attribute, my greatest, you could say, personality trait. Because really, God created the world in mercy because he didn't have to do it, but he chose to do it. And then he redeemed the world in mercy. And he's called us in mercy. And something struck me today, like never before, in this second reading. The victory that conquers the world is our faith. Who indeed is the victor over the world? But the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came through water and blood. Look at the image. Through water and blood. Jesus Christ. Not by water alone, but by water and blood. What's the point? The point is that not only did he come to forgive our sins, which could be symbolized by the water, the waters of baptism, which is where original sin was forgiven. By baptism, we were incorporated into his very nature. You could say we became sons and daughters of God. But also by his blood, he unites himself with us in an intimate way. It forms a covenant, which is more than a contract, as Scott Hahn likes to say. It's a covenant. It's a familial bond. So he's taking us to himself as his bride, his church. He makes us his bride by his blood. He makes us his bride by his blood. And he gives us a share in his glory. That's ultimately our calling. That's really divine mercy. Because he didn't have to do that either. He could have just forgiven us and, you know, cleaned us up a little bit, right? But that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough. He wanted to share his very glory with us, the glory that he had with the Father, as he says in John 17 at the Last Supper, before the foundation of the world. You could argue that was always his desire, but sin absolutely disrupted that. But he wasn't going to let that, sin and Satan, stand in the way of accomplishing his will for us, his ultimate will for us, to not only save us, but to glorify us, his sons and daughters, his bride. That's divine mercy. And he wants us to trust in that, even in the tough times. even in the difficult times. And we live in pretty crazy times, it's for sure. But to trust that he's still on the throne, he's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We just celebrated his resurrection from the dead. He is risen. He is alive and active. Let's believe that, because that's the kind of faith that conquers the world. That he actually wants to live his resurrected life through each and every one of us to build his kingdom wherever we might be, whatever we might be doing. Quick little story, really cool. While we were on retreat, this woman who was in charge of locking up the retreat center, her name's Sandy, she gave me permission to tell her story. I got it before I left today. She had suffered a stroke 11 years ago, I think she said. And so we noticed that she was walking with a bit of a limp and her right arm was limp. And so we offered to pray for her. And so long story short, we're praying for her. All of us gathered around her. We're praying for her healing. And I wouldn't say she was completely healed, but you better believe that her right arm got much stronger. Her range of motion, she could raise her right arm above her head like she hasn't been able to do in 11 years. She could finally make the sign of the cross with her right arm, which she hasn't been able to do in 11 years. She could feel her brain getting healed, her left brain, because it was her right arm. She could feel her brain, something going on in her brain. So that was Thursday night. She was off Friday. She came back last night, and we invited her to join us for Mass and to pray with her again. And so we're praying over her again, and I get this inspiration, and I have her permission to share this. I said, Sandy, any chance that you haven't been to confession in a while? And she looked up at me, and she's like, oh no, it's been a long time, Father. I said, I think it would be good to do that. It's Divine Mercy weekend. And so she did. She did. And she was so happy. We saw her again this morning. She was beaming. She was beaming. And I believe that this whole, you know, encounter that she had with the living God through us is now going to help her grow in her faith. How could it not? She's moving her arm like she hasn't done in 11 years. So we get to have these experiences of God, and he asks that we respond to them in faith, because there's no other explanation for that. And we have other encounters each and every day with the presence of God, with the love of God expressed in many, many different ways. So God wants us to believe in that, to believe in love, that love is indeed stronger than death. And that the light of the world, Jesus Christ, has overcome darkness by his resurrection. And we all participate in that. Jesus said it during his Sermon on the Mount. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine. You can't hide a city on a hill. You can't put a light under a bushel basket, or you shouldn't anyway. So let's ask Divine Mercy today to help us let our lights shine, that we would receive his mercy, that we would trust in his mercy and his goodness more and more, that we would make that a regular act of faith and hope and trust and surrender to God, and that we would be his instruments of peace and joy and light and love and mercy in this world. That, like St. Faustina and Pope St. John Paul II, we would become apostles of divine mercy. Amen.